Well, we're glad to see those who are here. All right. Believing lies and being lost. All right. Actually, it's very easy to do. We're going to see that tonight, and we have to acknowledge that's the reality. But in order to go to heaven, we must love the truth. And our foundation of our lesson is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. All right, verse 8. And then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with his breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearing of his coming. That is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. And for this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they might believe what is false, in order that they all may be found or judged who did not believe the truth but took pleasure in wickedness. All right. The first question you have to ask, why would God allow anyone to believe a lie? And that's a what we call a conundrum that many people have asked that question. Why would he do that? If he made us, why didn't he make us to where we were obedient? Why didn't he make us where we were perfect and could never sin? Because we know that's his desire, that's his goal. He wants everyone to be saved. So why didn't he just automatically save everybody? And that's a question we're always asked. Sometimes we ask it ourselves. Why would God allow someone to believe the lie? Well, it explains that. And many times when we want to continue a practice that is contrary to Bible teaching, we say, well, the Bible doesn't specifically condemn it. It doesn't say don't do it or anything like that. And of course, that's one of the arguments as when we discussed our denominationalism. That's one of the arguments that they make is that, well, it doesn't condemn it in the Bible, so it must be okay. And so we face with that. And sometimes people don't want to do what the Bible says. We find religious teachers that teach what we want to hear and soothe ourselves with their lies. 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. The time will come they will not endure sound doctrine, but wishing to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers of their own accord and then turn themselves from the truth into myths and fables. All right, those that would teach us the truth become our enemies. That's what Paul said, if I become your enemy because I tell you the truth. And we will find that those who do stand up for the truth usually become enemies of a lot of people. Those who really stand up for the truth don't have a lot of friends. And that is a reality that we're faced with. Because if you want to make friends, you're going to have to do a little compromising. You're going to have to sugarcoat a few things and not be very specific as to what God requires. And there's a lot of preachers in our world today who they like the praises of men. They like being recognized as a spiritual leader, and it's all for their own glorification. And they know that if they spoke the truth like the Bible says, they wouldn't be very popular. Well, some people are not like that. And we can be thankful there are some who will stand up and tell the truth. Sometimes maybe step on toes a little bit. Get into your hearts and into your minds and pierce your hearts. And that's what we want in a preacher. That's what we should want. Now, a lot of people, they don't want that. And that's obvious. When people can't stand the truth, they usually go someplace that will give them what they want. All right. The word lie in our text indicates false practices in religion. God would allow them to believe the lie. If you read the King James Version, that's what it says. He allows them to believe the lie. And that means the false practices in religion. And it means a perversion of religious truth. And of course, that's what evil is. Evil is always a perception. The same as evil, anything that corrupts, anything that pollutes, anything that adulterates, anything that poisons or makes bad. That's the definition of evil. And so that means it's not good. And so however way you want to use it, whatever words you want to use to describe it. I mean, it's something that is not right. And that's what evil is. And that's what these people come to. It is a perversion of the truth. And that's what they do. See, the passage gives us an explanation of the reason for sending out workings of error. And it's very easy. It's because those who work towards truth are hated by the worldly. Those who believe the truth and stand up for the truth are usually treated very badly. They are called names. They are people make insinuations about them. People make outright lies against them. Because you do speak the truth, it does happen. And some of us know from experience that that happens. In Isaiah 66, 1 through 5, I get my fingers working, I'll get there. All right, notice what it says. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where then is a house you could build for me? And where is a place I may rest? For my hand made all these things, thus all the things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. But he who kills an ox is like one who slays a man. He who sacrifices a lamb is like the one who breaks a dog's neck. He who offers grain offering is like one who offers swine's blood. He who burns incense is like the one who blesses an idol, as they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delights in their abominations. So I will choose their punishment, and I will bring on them what they dread, because I called, but no one answered. I spoke, but they did not listen, and they did evil in my sight, and chose that which I did not delight. Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word. Your brother who hates you, who exclude you for my name's sake, have said, let the Lord be glorified, that we may see your joy, but they will be put to shame. See, God explains these people. They're evil. They do bad. And sometimes when we think of people who are evil, we kind of get in our mind just the worst type of individual we can imagine. Just the very worst. But anybody who doesn't love the truth, God considers them evil. They might be a nice neighbor that just, you know, salt of the earth type person that we just love and adore, and we appreciate spending time with them. They don't curse, they don't drink, they don't do a lot of things, but you know what? If they're not serving the Lord properly, God has a word for that. It's worldliness. It is evil. It is error. Whatever word you want to use, and those people will be judged accordingly. If they're not obeying and following the truth, they're doing the other. There is no middle ground. See, it was the lie that started all of our problems. If you remember, Genesis 3, 1 through 5. The serpent comes up. And of course, we know that's Satan approaching and asks Eve, okay, what did the Lord say? What command did he give you? Well, she said, don't eat of this tree, and otherwise we would die. And he would say, you shall surely not die. Just that one little word thrown in there changed the whole concept. And of course, it was what she was hoping to hear, and that's what she got. See, Satan is the father of all lies. He started them all. And of course, he is the father of all lies, and he's the father of all liars. Those who continue to lie. John 8, 44. He's the father of lies. And notice the end for all liars and the company they keep. Revelation 21, 8. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. In verse chapter 21 and verse 27, and nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. So God says that there's a group of people that will not go to heaven, but he also tells us there is a group of people that will go to heaven. But you have to have your names written in the Lamb's book of life. And the only way to have your names written in the Lamb's Book of Life is to be obedient to the gospel message and to put on Christ in the way that he taught. Now we're going to look at some lies in the scriptures. See, we mentioned Satan to Eve in the Garden of Eden. He told her a lie, and of course that started all our problems. Cain denied knowledge of Abel's whereabouts. You know, he was walking around. God said, hey, where's your brother? I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Of course, Cain knew exactly what he had done. And I kind of wish God would have responded, well, yeah, you are your brother's keeper. Because we are, all of us. When our brethren, we are our brother's keeper. And that's the purpose of writing that book that I wrote. It's just, we're our brother's keeper. And we need to watch out and help each other get to heaven. And so, yes, it is important. So Cain denied that. Joseph's brethren, they deceived their father. They didn't actually say anything, but they just brought up the cloak soaked in blood. Hey, do you recognize this coat? And then Jacob, oh no, a wild beast has devoured my son. I mean, they didn't actually say, hey, a wild beast devoured. Oh, no, they didn't do that. They didn't tell a lie, but they sure propagated a lie by letting him believe that his son was dead. In 1 Kings 13, there's a story about an old prophet of Bethel who misguided the young prophet from Judah. The young prophet with Judah was told by the Lord, you go and tell King Jehoshaphat some things that are going to happen, and then you return straight back to Judah. Don't stop to eat anywhere. Don't stop to drink. I mean, you get out of there as fast as possible. On his way back after telling Jehoshaphat, there's an old prophet came along. Oh, wait. The Lord told me to tell you to come in and dine with me. Of course, the result of that, so the young prophet, he dined with him, then on his way he was devoured by a lion. Well, God had told him, don't do it. And yet he took the word of this older prophet because maybe he put his trust in that older prophet. Well, certainly he knows what he's talking about, but it was a lie, and it cost him his life. Herod said to the wise men and professing a desire to worship Jesus, you go find him and I want to worship him, so you come back and tell me where he is. Of course, we know the angel warned them not to return and tell him that. So there were lies throughout the scriptures. And the Roman soldiers, they said that the disciples sold Jesus' body while they slept. Well, Matthew 28, 11 through 15, you read the story, you find out they were bribed to say that. They were bribed to say that, oh yes, he was taken. The disobedient son who said he would work in the vineyard and did not. Remember that story? One son said, I will work, but he didn't do it. The other one said, I won't do it, but then changed his mind and went back and worked. All right, so Ananias and Sapphira, Acts chapter 5. They claimed to have given all the price of sold possession to the Lord. And they didn't have to, but yet they led others through their deception believe that they did more than they did. Oh yeah, look what we've done. I mean, they were filled with pride in this, and they weren't just wanting everybody to heap praises upon them. But they were caught. And they lied to the Holy Spirit by doing so. See, the accusers of Stephen, they had to basically tell false witness to get him killed, the same as the people did for Jesus. They had to bear false witness, tell lies. And even though these things weren't true, yet you tell them lie long enough, some people are going to believe it. So, if the Bible is God's word, why do so many people ignore the Bible? Well, that's a question I'm sure we all have pondered from time to time. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 13, but evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. And we know this is true. We just take a look at our society. We remember what our society was like 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. And we know it's on a downward spiral. We know it's not doing good. And it's getting worse and worse all the time. 1 John 4 and verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Well, here's another problem we face, is that a lot of times people don't even examine credentials. They don't even question somebody. Someone comes up, the fancy talker, maybe a good-looking guy. Oh, yeah, we want this guy. He must be a great preacher. And yet they don't even question him as far as his beliefs or his teachings or anything like that. And the Bible says you've got to test every spirit. Because there are false teachers out there. There's teachers out there telling lies and teaching deceptive things, telling people how they're going to be saved when in reality they're not going to be saved. And I'm not just talking about denominations. I'm talking about preachers in the Church of Christ. Some of those are teaching error these days in a lot of different subjects. See, Proverbs 19:27 says, "Cease listening, my son, to discipline, and you will stray from the words of knowledge." Yeah, Proverbs speaks a lot about discipline and the necessity of it and why it's actually for our benefit if we will be disciplined. But if we don't like discipline, we're going to go where nobody's going to pick on us. Nobody's going to step on our toes or try and get into our mind and make us feel bad for not doing what we should be doing. Isaiah 5:20, quoted many times, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." I mean, this is the way of our society, and lately in a lot of churches it has become that way. Those who speak the truth are basically condemned and picked on and castigated, and those who don't speak the truth, they heap praises upon them. Jeremiah 5:30-31. God says, "An appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule on their own authority, and my people love it so. But what will you do at the end of it?" I mean, that's what it all comes down to, is what the people want. It's not necessarily we want to hear what we need. We want to hear what we want to hear. We want to hear the stories. We want to hear the funny jokes. We want to hear the entertainment. We want to hear this or that, but don't tell us about God. We don't want to hear about God. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 5 says that. Don't tell us any more about the Holy One of Israel. Jeremiah 50, verse 6, 7. "My people have become lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. They have made them turn aside on the mountains, and they have gone along from mountain to hill and to have forgotten their resting place. All who came upon them have devoured them, and their adversaries have said, 'We are not guilty inasmuch as they have sinned against the Lord, who is the habitation of righteousness, even the Lord, the hope of their fathers.'" These people were being punished, and rather than them having the right to say, "Our enemies are punishing us," God is saying the enemies will recognize this is happening to them because they didn't serve the Lord. Ezekiel talked about the fact that when people come through the land of Judah and see the destruction of Jerusalem, says they will hiss. And they will say, "Why did this happen?" Because they did not serve the Lord, their God. Yes, the people's desires, they desire lies rather than the truth. And like I said, we quoted, "The time will come, they will not insert sound doctrine." And many times they become angry when you do tell them the truth. And that's true. Sometimes they express it. Usually what they do, they just walk out the door and don't come back. Because you've told the truth. They're involved in something which the Lord does not like, but yet they want to keep doing it. And they don't want the preacher harping on them. So they will go someplace where they won't have to endure sound teaching. Galatians 4:16, Paul said, "Have I therefore become your enemy by telling you the truth?" Matthew 7:15, Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." Yes, we have to beware of those who are false teachers. But do we always do that? A lot of congregations, they really don't care. I mean, they don't want to do the preaching, so they'll hire anybody who will do the preaching for them. And those people could be evil in the sight of God, but they'll be willing to put up with it. Now, the solution to this problem of the deception, 2 Thessalonians 2:10, and with all the deception of wickedness to those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. There's the solution to the problem. To receive the love of the truth. To love the truth. I mean, when you love the truth, you want the truth. You won't accept anything else. To overcome lies and false teaching and error, we must have a love for the truth. We have to know what the truth says, otherwise we won't recognize the false teaching and error. We have to know what the Word of God says. That's why we're told to study the Word of God and to do that. So in this case, the love means a desire to be in possession of or in the presence of the truth. The practicing of the truth. And being with those who love the truth and want to practice it as well. 1 Thessalonians 5:21-22. But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. So the question is, do you love the truth enough to surround yourself with it? See, liars and false teachers will always be around. There's no doubt about that. And we have to be mindful and watchful, because they will come in by stealth. They will come in and, oh yeah, they'll be nice. They'll have a lot of smiling, and they'll make you friends and pat you on the back and all that. And before you know it, they can get some people in trouble. And I've seen it done on numerous occasions. But we can accept the truth, obey the truth, and be saved. See, the truth will make you free, John 8:32. That's what it'll do. So we need to turn our back on the liars and the false teachers today and accept the truth. That's what we should be doing. And you can do this easily, as we all know, by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized, and then live a righteous life by faith from now on. I mean, it's a very simple process, but it's got to be based on the truth. And if we don't have a love for the truth, that means if you have a love for the truth, you want to hear it. You don't want to hear a preacher up there not telling you the truth. Sometimes we may not like it because they're stepping on our toes or because they're getting under our skin when we talk about certain subjects. Then you may not like that because, well, I really want to do that and I don't like... I mean, that's really a problem we have. But the solution, if you want to be saved, you've got to love the truth, you've got to desire the truth, you've got to want the truth, and you've got to expect the truth. And in order to do that, you've got to know the truth. You've got to know what God's Word says on everything. So work on that. We're going to sing an invitation song. If anyone has a need to respond, we're going to invite you to come all together. We stand and sing.